Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend, opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day with family and friends, and extraordinary gift we have in the body of Christ, being able to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. He feeds us, strengthens us. He reminds us, the church in her motherly care for us, reminds us what matters most right there. You know, we come together, sinners, weak and broken people. We come and we confess our sins right at the beginning of Mass. Together, we offer our hearts to the Lord. We hear Him speak to us in His Word. We bow down before Him as a priest lead us through the prayers, the Eucharistic prayers of preparing for receiving the body and blood of the Lord. And it's the ultimate open heaven, friends. It's the ultimate moment in any time when the people of God come together. And the Lord said, I will be with you always. This is maybe the fundamental way in which the Lord is with us. Of course, He's with us in the Holy Spirit. He's given us in baptism, and He dwells in us as in a temple. In that way, we're never separated from the Lord, the love of God. You know, nothing can separate us from the love of God other than our choice of embracing sin and walking away from it. But God in His mercy is always ready to forgive us and to love us. But in the Eucharist, friends, we need to fight hard to make sure that we make it a central part of our week, that we do everything we can to not miss it. And it's been difficult, obviously, in these times, this COVID period of time, and to allow the Eucharist to shape the way we look at reality and allow and receive the graces and come with great anticipation and a desire to pour out your heart to God with your brothers and sisters, exalt the Lord, and watch the grace that gets poured out around it. So the Lord's going to continue to feed us no matter what happens in the days ahead, I do think. And if you've listened to the program and our YouTube videos and other kinds of things, I mean, I'm completely convinced we've certainly entered into a time in which the Lord is permitting the church to be tested deeply, going through a time of purification. There's a time of shaking that's going on. The stress and the shaking of the nations is going on. The broader judgment of God is happening and unfolding in the world. The redemptive discipline, which is a type of judgment, is happening in the church to purify the church, to wake her up from her sleepy lukewarmness, her Laodicean attachments to the world and to comfort and preoccupied with the self and our needs. So there's an epic battle going on, and I think we all know it. We wish it was all over and it was past, but I don't think, friends, that it is the case. I think it's going to be with us for some time. And as I spoke on a video recently, I was reminded of just the conversation that Frodo Baggins had with Gandalf the wizard in The Lord of the Rings. Began to dawn on Frodo just how serious the conflict and the battle was now that they were all going to have to go through, and then a role he would have to play. And he said to Gandalf, he said, I wish it need not have happened in my time. So do I, said Gandalf, and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. It's a great, great line. And Tolkien was kind of prophetic in this stuff. And it is that kind of moment we're living through. I mean, we wish we didn't have to go through such a disruption of our politics and the disruption of the environment and, you know, the sickness and global pandemics and breakdown of relationships and trust and all the confusion that's there in the culture. And it's shaking human hearts. And that's why the Lord is permitting it, for that very reason, to wake us up. And to wake us up to the reality that things that we cling to, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, I think a very prophetic verse for our time, it says, God will once again shake the nations so that the peoples of the nations, the whole world, will understand, at least have the opportunity to come to understand, that the things we cling to, that we hold on to for identity, for security, for strength, for escape, whatever it is, money, power, influence, health, whatever that we're leaning on to, that all of it, even if you have gobs of money and live in the perfect neighborhood, all of it is passing, all of it is contingent, none of it can protect us from the larger realities of what it means to be a human being on the planet and to live in God's plan and the unfolding spiritual conflict that really does exist that you feel like we can escape from on occasion, but you never really can escape. He said, so the Lord wants to awaken his people in particular to shake us free from the idols that we cling to, in which we find security, to come to the place where we see and understand where we can find that which is unshakable. And the only unshakable reality is God himself, the rock upon which we stand. But when our heart is given over to other things, when our real love, our loves are all mixed up, when we don't love God first with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're running after other loves that are satisfying the desires of our flesh, ambition, whatever it might be, and God is secondary, tertiary, on the margins of our life, we think we are advancing, we are living in money and recognition and power and influence, and this is the life. And then all of a sudden, when the Lord allows things to shake, we all see how, again, contingent and how limited those things are and how quickly any security we have flees from us. And it's important that we find security only in the Lord, ultimately. So what I want to do today and this week is talk about, take a deeper dive into what it means that God's judgments are in the nations. What does it mean? What do God's judgments mean? What does the discipline of God's people mean? What does it look like? What's it for? And most importantly, what is the Lord asking us, in the words of Gandalf here, what are we to do with the times we now live in? We have a decision to make. We have a decision to say, how shall I cooperate? How is God calling me to cooperate with what he's doing in the world, rather than me trying to convince him to do what I want to do in the world, to find out, okay, something much larger is going on. I've got a purpose in the earth here. And so I think one of the places to start before we talk anything about God's judgments is to just remember fundamentally who we are, right? We're God's people, God's children. We bear the image of God. We've been in baptism, born again by water and the Spirit. And we've been given these amazing theological virtues, these graces from God. Faith, hope, and love is really at the foundation of what the Holy Spirit gives to us, as the Holy Spirit's dwelling in us as in a temple. You know, the greatest of these obviously is love. And Jesus said, the first commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus in Matthew 22 said, this is the first and the greatest thing. Nothing is more important for a human being on the planet, ever more important than to rightly align your heart and mind with God the Father, his Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. To love God with all your heart, and then to love your neighbor. Remember, Jesus made it so clear as he's preparing the apostles for the terrible undertaking that was about to happen in Jesus' crucifixion and their division and the weaknesses that's going to be revealed in them, and then their own destiny and the suffering that awaited them. Jesus said, reminded them of the key things. The key things being, as the Father loves me, so I love you. The Father loves us the way he loves the Son. Jesus loves us the way he loves the Father. He said, as I am in the Father, so he is in me, he's in you. How? In the Spirit of God, in baptism, he makes us a dwelling place. So he's solved already through his death and resurrection, his establishment of the church and the grace that's there, and the grace we receive in being born again by water and the Spirit, becoming children of God. He has solved the biggest thing we're ever going to face, the most negative problem we'll ever know. In Jesus, we've overcome death's claim, sin's claim, the devil's claim, and now we're part of his kingdom. So that's the foundation that's there, and at the core of that is a faith and a trust, the gift of faith that says, I believe Jesus, I believe his words, I believe he is who he says he is. And not only do I believe it, I give my whole life to it, I entrust myself to it. And I entrust myself to the church that Jesus himself has established to be a part of it. This is his body in the earth. So I'm united not just by myself, but with a communion of believers that is the body of Christ. And we're already living the kingdom life here if we're walking in Him and living by the Spirit. And He gives us hope. Hope is the confident expectation of the fulfillment of our life. We're pilgrims here on earth. We're born in time. Our nature is that we're in a constant state of being on the way. We're going somewhere. We're going to one of two destinations, ultimately. Hope is the confidence that I know my destination. And Paul prayed for this in Ephesians chapter 1, that beautiful apostolic prayer. He prayed to the Father that the Father would give us a revelation. So pray that prayer with Paul and say, yes, Lord, I ask you, Lord, unite my heart to Paul as Paul prayed for us, that you would give us a revelation in the heart, in the core of our being, and open our eyes so that we can see and come to understand the hope to which we're called. You know, the glorious inheritance that's ours in the saints, and the immeasurable greatness of His power in us who believe. Times like this are very, very revealing, the kinds we're living through, because it shows us very quickly what it is we're leaning on and what is the condition of my heart before God and before my neighbor. How troubled am I? How anxious am I? How fearful am I? How angry am I? It's very important to be able to see that. And Pope Benedict, as I've mentioned many times over the years in the program, said, you know, the one who hopes lives differently, because the one who hopes has confidence. And hope is not positive thinking. I mean, it might include some of it, but it's not Norman Vincent Peale positive thinking, which in itself is not a bad thing, but it's not Christian hope. Christian hope isn't just my work and my effort at thinking positively. It's the gift of God. It's a theological virtue that touches my mind and heart in such a way as I lean into it. It literally gives me power. It gives me power to live differently, to see my neighbor differently, to see trial differently. So the apostles were so clear, they understood so clearly what life on earth was going to be like for them. When we run into disruption like we're experiencing now, we're like, hey, something's gone wrong. What about all the comfort I'm promised in this world and the safety and the prosperity and the security and all of that? Well, most of humanity has never lived that way, but having grown up in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, there's been a lot of that. But what we see in Scripture time and again is that the normal Christian life includes a set of things, not only life, living in faith, hope, and love, living in a community of people who are on the way, men and women who've given their lives to Christ, they're baptized into Jesus. We're living in the already of the kingdom, but the not fulfillment of the kingdom, that's part of it. And then the apostles remind us what John, for example, says in Revelation chapter 1 as he's writing a letter to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And he says this, I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the tribulation, the kingdom, and the patient endurance. Those three things are repeated again and again by apostles, the apostles in different ways. What do we share in this life? Tribulation. It's inescapable. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. How's that going for you? He has the grace that we can live, we can be of good cheer and overcome the world. And then he says, but we're also living together in the kingdom. That's where we get the resources. We're living in a relationship with the King in His kingdom and the present life in the church. And he said, the patient endurance. Hope is the foundation that makes it possible for us to be patient because we can see our destiny. Faith gives us confidence and love of the Lord holds us there. Friends, this week we're going to look at some hard things, but I hope you can join me. I think it's going to be fruitful. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The Scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.